Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in St. John chapter 1. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is God's word. Today in our Holy Gospel, Jesus encounters a man named Nathanael. And in this account of Nathanael, Nathanael represents you and me. Nathanael gets off pretty easy, because when you think of doubting disciples, Nathanael's not the first name that comes to mind. Poor Thomas, whose story we'll hear the first Sunday after Easter, he gets that bad rap. He's doubting Thomas. But Nathanael had his own doubts as well. Philip, his friend, encounters him and tells him of the one who comes to fulfill the law of Moses and the prophets. His name is Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph, and he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael is a skeptic. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I don't know what sort of town you'd put in there. I'd probably offend someone if I tried to come up with a modern day example. Can anything good come out of blank? I won't even try to make a joke there. Nathanael was a doubter. He was uncertain. When he heard that the one who fulfills the law and the prophets was from Nazareth, he was going to need some more evidence before he would accept that claim. Nathanael was a doubter, and we, like Nathanael, often have our doubts and our skepticism about the claims that are made to us. We are a skeptical and mistrusting culture. We're skeptical and mistrusting of politicians, for sure, and entertainers, and mainstream media and fake news that report on the entertainers and the politicians. I think one of the reasons we are more skeptical than perhaps the generations that came before us is that we have access to so much information in this day and age. In the past, if you wanted to know what was going on the other side of the world, what did you do? You either waited until the newspaper came out, or you waited until the evening news to get the story. That's no longer the case. Now you can click on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. You can get news in an instant. But because there's so much information out there, there's also a lot of misinformation. And I think that's left us skeptical. It's left us doubting the claims that are being made before our eyes and ears. And I think that extends to the church as well. Because when we become skeptical and mistrusting of the other institutions of this world, we become skeptical and mistrusting of the institution of the church. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. The church is run by sinners, and they constantly disappoint. They constantly give us reason for skepticism and mistrust. And having only been here now a couple months, I can guarantee you I'm going to disappoint you at some point along the way if I haven't already. It's the nature of sinners. It's the nature of the church. We saw what happened in the Roman Catholic Church when there was sex abuse by priests of children, and then the consequent cover-up, which made it even worse. That caused a mistrust in the institution of the church. Now, maybe we don't have something as public as that here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but nonetheless, whether it's synod officials or district presidents or synod presidents or circuit counselors or pastors or congregational members, congregational officers whom we received last week, all of us disappoint. It's bound to happen. The sad consequence of that is that when we are so mistrusting of those who shouldn't be trusted, we often end up failing to trust those who are trustworthy. Nathanael had no reason not to trust Jesus, but being a skeptic, he said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And so Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus said, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." When Nathanael was unsure and doubting and skeptical, he was invited to see what was shown to him. The old adage, "Seeing is believing," is true. The answer to doubt and disbelief is visible evidence. Nathanael, filled with disbelief, saw the power of Jesus firsthand. Jesus, who said, "Before Philip spoke to you under the fig tree, I saw you." In other words, before Jesus had even encountered Nathanael, he knew him and knew his story. In Thomas, the other doubter that I mentioned earlier, when he had disbelief, the resurrected Jesus appeared before him and showed him the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. Are you filled with disbelief? Do you have doubt? Are you unsure? Are you skeptical? Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and see the Son of Man, the one who comes to be your Savior." That ultimately is the job of a pastor, to show you Jesus, to speak his word, to deliver his gifts, to not point you to himself, but to show you the one who has given you his blood to pay the debt of your sin, the one who has given you his resurrection to give you an inheritance of eternal life. That, dear friends in Christ, I hope, is why you are here this morning, that you would come and see the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Now, Jesus told Nathanael he would see even greater things than what he had shown him that day. And Nathanael certainly did. As a follower of Jesus during his ministry, Nathanael would have seen the healing of the sick, the lepers, the paralyzed, even those at the face of death. He would see the casting out of demons, Jesus showing power over Satan himself. Nathanael would see the feeding of the multitudes. We have two accounts in Scripture, one of 5,000 men plus women and children, perhaps 10, 12, even 15,000 people fed by fish and bread. And of course, Nathanael would have seen the resurrected Jesus himself. He would have seen the wounds in his hands, the wound in his side, the wounds in his feet. He would see his Lord ascend into heaven. Nathanael indeed saw greater things. And our Lord Jesus shows you greater things than you have seen today as well. He shows you sins forgiven in his word. He shows you life and eternity given in the waters of holy baptism. He gives you the very word of God where he dwells himself as the word made flesh. He shows you his body and blood for you to eat and to drink. He comes to be present with his people. As we sang in the opening hymn, God himself is present. Jesus here in the midst of his people, you and me. In the face of your doubts, that's what our Lord gives you. He shows himself to you. He shows himself to you in his word and in his sacraments. He shows you that he's not a far off God, but a God who is right here with sinful people like you and me. In fact, dear friends in Christ, that's what we're all about here. Coming in the presence of the Almighty God that we might see our Lord who comes to be with us. What an incredible, miraculous reality. There is an accusation that has been leveled by some against our congregation, that we are all about religion, dead words, mindless repetition, that we have no life or energy, that all a bunch of empty rituals. There's a YouTube video that went viral several years ago with a young man in it talking about how Jesus hates religion. Funny thing is, Jesus never said he hates religion. But maybe you buy into that. Maybe you have your own doubts about what it is we're doing here, what it is this service is all about. Are we doing the right thing? Do we have the right spirit of what God wants us to be doing in worship? And maybe, like Nathaniel, you're asking yourself, can anything good come from this? The people who come to this place. Let's hear again the words of Jesus. He says, "Truly, truly," to Nathaniel, "I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now I want you to follow me here. If Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he is, because John's gospel tells us in the very same chapter, that means Jesus is where the Word is. Do we have the Word of God here in our midst? You bet we do. And if we have the Word, what does that mean? That means we have Jesus here in the midst of us. And if the angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of Man, on Jesus Christ, and heaven is opened upon him, that means heaven is opened right here. The angels of God ascend and descend upon Jesus Christ right here in our midst. And don't we even sing it in our communion liturgy? Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, as God's people, we believe, teach, and confess that we have a word that makes Jesus Christ present here among us. That Jesus himself is here forgiving our sins, removing our guilt and shame and wickedness, bestowing on us the promise of eternal life and salvation that has no end. We believe that our Lord Jesus gives us his very body and blood to eat and to drink. To those who think we're all about dead religion, I would say top that. We have a God who dwells with his people. And I invite you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to just contemplate for a moment what that means. Your God is here with you. You are in his presence. That's how our God works, dwelling with his people. We heard in our epistle today as well, where St. Paul warns against the evils of sexual immorality when he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" That's how God deals with his people. He dwells with them. He shows himself to them. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, at that time when God used to walk in the garden with them and then they broke that relationship, God has set about restoring it. And he restores it by restoring you. By telling you, doubting, skeptical, mistrusting people you are, come and see. See the forgiveness that is yours. See the life that is yours. Do more than see it. Take it. Receive it. Claim it as your own. Jesus told Nathanael that he would see greater things than these, than what he encountered under the fig tree that day. You, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have seen the greatest thing of all. The greatest thing of all is the salvation our Lord Jesus has purchased upon the cross and poured out for you here and now. The same salvation that he pours out week in and week out. And so, dear friends in Christ here at Our Redeemer, do you doubt? Then I say to you, come and see. Come and see the Son of Man who reveals himself to you in his very word. The word of his cross. In the opening of heaven, where gifts pour out freely for you, here and now and always. Come and see the Son of Man, who gives you life eternal, and who promises that these great things will happen wherever his word is present and proclaimed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.